Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Floridians come November will vote on a measure that would lower the assessed value of their homes by $250,000. In effect, also lowering property taxes over the next 2 years. In order to pass, the proposal would need 60% of people who vote to be in favor of the change. The possible decline in funds used to pay for things like police and fire, libraries and parks, have local governments scrambling to figure out possible cuts, as well as potential fee increases to plug predicted budgetary gaps. Aside from the immediate funding concerns, the reduction of property taxes will also impact the credit ratings of the counties and municipalities that issue bonds to fund projects. Earlier this month, S&P Global predicted a negative impact on the credit rating of county and city governments in Florida, attributable to property tax reform, potential hurricane damage, and the national economic outlook. A lower credit rating means local governments would have to pay higher interest rates when borrowing money, which would mean less taxpayer revenue going directly to capital projects. It also affects the ability to issue bonds. Bonds issued under a lower rating are less attractive to investors. Jennifer Garza is a director of S&P Global Finance Ratings.
The property tax reform itself does change the amount of revenues that essentially these local governments are going to be able to receive, and therefore will impact their ability to maintain at least balanced net performance without other changes, like raising additional fees if they have the autonomy to do so, or cutting back some expenditures to balance the budget. If no change to net performance, then that could also impact their level of reserves.
Garza was a co-author of the analysis. She spoke about how this reform creates a perception of instability to public ratings agencies like S&P.
Our state institutional framework incorporates the predictability of a government to forecast its revenue and expenditures, the revenue and expenditure balance and system support, and the ability of the government to finance the services it provides and the degree of ongoing exceptional support from a higher level of government. And then the transparency aspect, which is the comparability of the government's relevant financial information. So those are the three areas that we will be analyzing if the property tax reform is improved. But it's not just one set of analysis and it's done. So it's twofold. It's also how will the local government respond to such reform. Typically, local governments can adjust to fluctuations in revenues and expenditures and maintain their structural balance, especially if they have enough time to implement some changes in their future budget cycle. So that piece of the analysis is going to be really key and important.
School districts issue bonds for capital projects, just like counties and municipalities. District bond ratings are determined on projected revenues. Those revenues are determined by formulas involving student enrollment. Central Florida public schools are seeing record declines in student enrollment. Garza connected those declines to school district bond ratings.
The difference in the demographic trends between local governments like cities and counties and schools is that we're looking at population trends for cities and counties, and then in more so enrollment for schools. And you can have growing population, but declining enrollment at the same time for a particular area or community. And that's just indicative of lower birth rates, right? Like more people are moving in, but with less children, school age children. And then there's a couple of factors that play into the enrollment declines. And that includes school choice options, in addition to the demographic component with lower birth rates. And then immigration policy is another factor that's leading to some enrollment shifts, not only just year to year, but intra year, leading schools to have to make some difficult decisions to maintain balanced budgets.
These ratings agencies even take weather patterns into consideration when evaluating local governments' credit. Garza explained how hurricanes and FEMA response play a role.
Historically, the way that FEMA has supported local governments and the way that Florida has operated, they're very well managed, and they're also well prepared for the knowledge necessary to make timely FEMA reimbursement claims. And they are a profile that stands out, that can really manage through disaster recovery really well because of this aspect. And so historically, when you combine FEMA and state emergency management support, and then also the fact that insurance helps offset some of these claims that they have to make for disaster recovery costs, that has helped support local government credit quality and ability to maintain sufficient liquidity despite weather event risks like this. And part of this is because the local government portfolio for cities and counties have maintained an above average level of reserves in comparison to other local government portfolios in other states across the nation. They have about 40 to 44% respectively, and that has increased from about 25 to 30% just 2 to 3 years ago. And I think that that helps that it was a quiet hurricane season last year to contribute to some of that growth in reserves.
The uncertainty surrounding property taxes, coupled with an inability for local governments to forecast future revenue that Garza referred to, is already impacting planning at the county level.
Just yesterday, we were talking about in the chambers of whether or not we should increase developers' impact fees. And we only get the decision to do that once every 5 years. So if we tabled that discussion yesterday, because we don't know how voters are going to vote in November. So if they vote for property tax reform, well, then we have to look at what is the fair share of developers to pay on their impact fees. And if the local government's not making money, well, impact fees look a lot more expensive in Orange County, which means that that passes that price on to home buyers.
Kelly Martinez-Semrad is Orange County's District 5 commissioner. In addition to potential cuts to public services, Semrad spoke with Engage producer Richard Copeland about her concern over how the county's ability to mitigate hurricane damage could be impacted with less money.
What Florida has done is ultimately messed up Mother Nature's natural engineer, which was our wetlands. And so we're flooding in ways that we have never flooded before. That comes, of course, in the form of people see that in their property insurance increases. But from a property tax perspective, we have been using revenue from property taxes to fund stormwater management upgrades to prevent some of the most vulnerable communities from flooding during emergency weather events. This has huge implications for stormwater management. This has huge implications for us being able to buy land to conserve. District 5 specifically has some of the most eco-sensitive lands that are still left in Orange County. We would like to acquire them through land acquisition. But of course, if we have no money to do so, that those lands will ultimately face development and we will lose some very critical ecological systems that we still have left in our county.
We'll connect the dots from there to the upcoming hurricane season. We've had a relatively mild prediction for this season, but as you know, it only takes one storm. So no pun intended, describe what a perfect storm would look like with a hurricane making Central Florida landfall and then having this lack of revenue to support flood mitigation, to support wetland conservation.
When you talk about the perfect storm happening and making landfall, we have to talk about some of the perfect storm variables that we have going on right now. So Orange County has some of the lowest wages in the entire nation. We have some of the least amount of affordable housing in the nation, which means that we have very vulnerable communities and people that are barely, families that are barely making ends meet. So when we talk about property tax reform and how that impacts emergency services and what would be available, still, again, we will be asking our emergency personnel to do more with less and to take care of a growing population that grows each year without the necessary financial tools to do so. So, I mean, again, this comes down to quality of life.
And your district, District 5, includes some pretty rural stretches of Orange County. What are you hearing from some of the municipal leaders in your district about their concerns?
So District 5 is comprised of some rural areas, which is out in the rural east with like Christmas and Bithlow and our Wedgefield community. But we also have a lot of metropolitan areas like Winter Park and Maitland. And so for those municipalities like Winter Park and Maitland, people may think that these are the types of governments that could weather a storm of property tax reform, but your local layer of government has very little wiggle room to do anything with their budget. So any type of property tax reduction results in a service reduction. And so even those municipalities are going to be impacted. And then we have some of the really historic municipalities that aren't in District 5, but are in Orange County, and that's like Eatonville. This is the first Black town that Freedom built, and they are funded by property taxes, and no city is allowed to go insolvent. So then what happens to those smaller cities if they don't have enough revenue? They essentially go out of business. So this has huge implications for all of our local government structures across the entire state of Florida.
Governor DeSantis says this is an effort to lessen the financial burden of the housing costs for Floridians. The Republican supporters in the legislature have said that this will stimulate migration into Florida from other states, stimulate home sales, and in turn, economic growth.
Well, my take on that angle, particularly as an expert in tourism economies with a PhD, is this. The trickle-down effect of economics is proven over and over and over again that it does not work. And so allowing for your ultra-wealthy to move into Florida and to buy luxury homes, all the while you're gutting your local government to disincentivize them to build affordable homes because they're going to want to make a tax base. So now you start encouraging them to build more luxury homes. We will simply outprice the working class out of Florida from our lower levels all the way up through our middle income. So when they say the free state of Florida, it will be free of income tax, free of property tax, and free of public services to provide a quality of life to their residents.
Michael Scott also sits on the Orange County Commission. He represents District 6. He talks about the tension between providing Central Floridians with the economic relief the initiative could provide and concerns about the consequences of that relief.
It excites me because I know there are so many people who are legitimately struggling financially. Like, they're trying to figure out, okay, what bills do I pay right now? Who do I do a payment arrangement with? Who do I borrow money from? Do I get a payday loan? Those are the struggles that, you know, I think everyday working people experience. And so I think that it will present, you know, some real relief for the folks, but also it'll present some real challenges. What worries me in terms of what might happen is potentially folks may lose their jobs. I mean, you got to think, like, Orange County has $100 million on reserve. And so our projections were 150, 160, but, you know, over $100 million that first year. That's a big, big, big budget challenge. It's not like, you know, a couple thousand dollars here or there. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Orange County, let's say you're an employee, salary or hourly, but you're a full-time employee. Regardless of what you make, Orange County is already spending $19,000 out the gate just to cover your health insurance. And so what does that mean for, you know, employee health costs, all the things that, you know, we come to expect, whether it's animal services, mosquito control, or code enforcement?
So Florida's Revenue Estimating Conference last Friday released its analysis of local government budgeting should property taxes get cut, estimating Orange County would lose $812 million in revenue. If Orange County loses $812 million annually, what are the first services or projects or departments that would face reductions?
Every department would face a reduction. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every department would face a reduction. The question is how much? And then, you know, you hear these things from other leaders talking about, oh, cut the fat. It's not important services. It's not needed. I think what is or what is not a core service outside of, you know, fire, rescue, law enforcement, things of that nature, I think the core service is dictated based on the community and the needs, right? Some communities may really need an investment in childcare, whereas other communities may not. Some communities may need a heavy investment in, you know, fire and EMS services because maybe they have a significant elderly population. Other communities may not. And so I think that there is no one cookie cutter size all in terms of what, you know, is an essential service versus what's not. What should be cut first? I think that would just have to be a very prolonged conversation and not just one, but several conversations with the community about what to prioritize with the funding that we have.
So advocates of eliminating or reducing property taxes say that local governments should be more efficient. Are there any spending cuts that you all have already identified that could be made without reducing services?
I think the county has made some spending cuts, and when I say spending cuts, just changing their plan, like projects that might have been done like on a 5-year frequency or now a 10-year frequency. And likewise, projects like public works projects that would be 10 years are now 20 years. So it saves money, you know, in the short term and in the long run. You know, I've made some changes to my office budget. I don't have a discretionary budget like, you know, cities do. And so we've made reductions in our budget as best we can. But I think it'll come down to each department director and division manager looking at what they have and where they can cut. But I think the first thing that will get delayed would be capital projects. That's where our biggest expenses are, is you know, buildings, capital improvement things. And so I think those will probably be the initial things that get looked at, because that's where a lot of the expenses are behind personnel, is capital improvement projects, buildings and things like that. Property tax reform should happen, but it should happen in a thoughtful way with conversations involving not just elected officials and appointed officials, but the people that actually pay the property taxes, so that it's not just, hey, we're going to cut it and you guys figure it out to your own, you know, detriment.
Just so I'm understanding correctly, is that what is happening now? This is not being thoughtfully planned out?
I think it's just being pushed through. I mean, anyone can appreciate the need to, if you're making a significant change, particularly when it comes to finances, hey, let's look at the numbers. Let's have some discussions. Let's do some research. Let's not rush this. And so when you rush something, you run the risk of making a mistake. The question is, how detrimental is that mistake to the everyday working person? You know, am I voting against my interests? Yeah, I have short-term relief right now in my property taxes, but down the line, I'm having to now pay for maybe additional childcare services that maybe Head Start was reduced or eliminated. I'm having to pay a fee to go into a park that was once free before. So many other variables, I think, factor into what could potentially be good or bad about this, but it really comes down to how any given community member views how a government should serve them. I think it's different. Obviously, our seniors have different opinions than maybe a young family. Likewise, I think business owners have different needs, which is why, just as different as our community is, there shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all approach to how we do property taxes. It needs to be a thoughtful conversation. It should have been a thoughtful conversation.
Jeff Brandis is the founder and president of the Florida Policy Project, a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute. In speaking with Copeland, he shared that one of his concerns about lowered credit ratings in the local governments involves the county's and municipalities' abilities to honor existing bond obligations.
These were bonds and credit ratings were underwritten with certain parameters that were expected, that were enshrined in the Constitution. If we didn't change the Constitution, it changes the parameters by which the county credit ratings were underwritten on. And so counties that are currently borrowing at 3.8% today may have to borrow at 4.5% tomorrow. And I think that's just one of the unintended consequences that comes from this.
And what would that mean for Floridians, for residents, for voters, for homeowners and renters?
For those cities, it would mean that their borrowing costs would ultimately go up, and that longer term, they would pay more on their the county and city debt in order to cover this exact same amount of services or the exact same amount of capital improvements. And so long-term, it penalizes the counties and cities.
You've identified 29 fiscally constrained semi-rural and rural counties that are especially vulnerable. What makes you concerned for these counties?
Well, many of these counties are going to struggle. I mean, listen, the governor actually came out and said that he believes that many of them would struggle. That was the whole point behind him recommending that the state create a trust fund to backfill and support these counties really forever. But ultimately, the legislature is never going to let that happen. It's not going to allow counties and cities to go forever without the revenue to support themselves. It's going to force consolidation of cities and a forced consolidation of counties down the road. The challenge runs into is that the counties would be assuming these other counties or these other cities don't have the resources to then cover the funds either. And so you begin to see a reduction of services. You begin to see some cities really that are kind of people without a country or without a county to go to. Really, nobody kind of wants that additional burden without any resources that come with it. And so it creates a variety of unintended consequences. Another major unintended consequence is, you know, we have this whole affordable housing problem in Florida where, you know, we've essentially stopped building starter homes. This disincentivizes communities from wanting more starter homes because those are all costs to those communities and they get virtually no benefit from that. So I think there's a variety of unintended consequences that haven't been thought through. Another one is this shift towards non-ad valorem taxes. For example, counties can do a per parcel fee for police and firefighters versus the traditional ad valorem tax process. That could create a situation where long-term homeowners actually pay more in taxes under this scenario than what they're currently paying because they're not protected by the homestead exemption of ad valorem taxes if we shift to non-ad valorem taxation.
What does happen to these communities?
I think they become dependents on Tallahassee. And when Tallahassee pays the bills, Tallahassee makes the rules. And so now all of a sudden you could see counties be forced to actually raise their taxes because Tallahassee is not going to fund projects unless they've extracted everything they can out of their local communities. So many of these counties operate at 3 or 4 or 5 mills today. The state could say, well, you must go to 7, 8, or 10 mills and exhaust your local capacity before the state kicks in. I think that's why it's a battle over control because again, now Tallahassee is operating cities and counties by remote control from Tallahassee.
From an infrastructural standpoint, what are your concerns if credit ratings slow or suspend bond issuances for much needed projects throughout Central Florida?
It just means that the cost of these projects continues to rise at a rate above inflation. And that's the overall problem. Cities and counties are already complaining about the cost of infrastructure and the burden that they're having to bear to replace roads and bridges, that these costs are accelerating at rates above inflation. And this just adds to that burden because when you add borrowing costs on top of that, above what they're normally paying, just because creditors are uncertain about where the funds are going to get to pay for this, then it just compounds the issue.
What would you say to supporters of this reform who say this will promote growth, it'll attract new residents to Florida?
Well, I would argue that it does the exact opposite, that it doesn't promote growth and it doesn't attract new residents to Florida. The new residents would have a 5-year waiting period under this constitutional amendment before they can even qualify for these benefits. So I think it hurts jobs. It hurts business relocations that want to relocate here because you're creating these second-class Floridians, these probationary Floridians, if you will, that are on a time clock of 5 years before they can get the benefits produced under this. On top of that, I think it encourages counties and cities to shift to apartments versus single-family homes. Again, single-family homes that are lower cost will ultimately pay little to nothing under this, whereas apartments will fill the full burden. Understand, 1/3 of Floridians rent, and they get no benefit out of that. In fact, they may end up getting penalized by this if they end up having to pay higher property taxes or additional sales taxes or other fees that traditional homeowners don't have to pay.
Now, Jeff, assuming this reform is passed by voters, what does the impact on communities look like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road in 2036?
Well, I think the first thing you're going to see is that they're going to take their police and firefighters and turn them over to the county and let the county bear that cost versus your local city police department and your local city fire department. I think further down the road, you're going to see some cities that realize that they don't have the resources. These bedroom communities that are high homestead communities and potentially more modest home values may really struggle to maintain their sense of self and maintain their local governance. And they would ultimately go to a neighboring larger city or into their existing county and turn over services to them. I think those are some of the longer term scenarios that could play out under this amendment. These are the many second order effects that just haven't been thought through and we're still discovering.
Florida voters will have the opportunity to approve the property tax reform bill or reject it on November 3rd when it appears on the election ballot. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.